Blog Talk Radio.
Very good morning to you. Welcome back another Sunday. And you found us back here in the garage at Frat House Sports. And our all motorsports broadcast this morning. Now, this week it's going to be primarily NASCAR-centric. And good morning, Brandon. I believe you're with me up on top of
yes,
the pit box. NHRA is in a couple of weeks hiatus. So we really don't have much NHRA chat this morning. So it's going to be primarily a NASCAR focus this week. I hope everybody's out there. You're joining us. Bring the donuts. We've got the coffee on. And if you'd like to climb aboard with us, we encourage you to do that. You may do that by dialing on the phone 347-826-9964. Once again, 347-826-9964. If you are Skype capable and listening via computer, you can click on the Skype button. That'll bring you in live with us right here at the Frat House Garage as we chit chat some NASCAR today. We're going into race.
And start your engine.
Number two, yes, indeed. And a little change in the schedule for NASCAR this week, Brandon. We went out to Phoenix for race number two last year and the prior year and the prior year, but this year they've switched, and we are doing our one and only appearance at Atlanta Motor Speedway. That should be a good time. Very fast track, right?
It is one of the faster, non-restrictor plate tracks out there, if I could say it correctly. But, it is a little different. I mean, I think everybody was used to the, Phoenix and then Vegas. And I think Vegas is still next week. But,
right,
they did switch it up a little bit with the Phoenix thing. I'm not sure where Phoenix falls in. I think it's still relatively early, correct?
Yes, it is, actually. It is correct.
Yeah.
We're not seeing a change in that one. Evidently, the change in this case benefited Darlington. They're going to, reacquire the Labor Day race, which was theirs traditionally for many years. So, I mean, some purists would say that was, a good thing on the other, we're on the East Coast here, and I'm not sure. We're getting a bit of snow and mix and mess here on the first day of March in the Pennsylvania area. I don't know what our weather report is. I'll have to pull that up, weather.com, down there in Atlanta. But hopefully...
Uncle Mark,
I have
the weather update for you.
Yes, would you bring us up to date?
It has stopped sprinkling. The Titans are on the track, cleaning up the track, and they're looking to go green shortly after 1 p.m.
All right.
Awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome news. That is awesome news. And good morning there, Sidekick. Nice to have you aboard with us. we're going to chit-chat a little bit. We want to obviously wrap up the Daytona 500 results. We finally got through that. We had a couple of drivers in there, obviously, Reagan Smith, Matt Crafton. They filled in for what was, interestingly enough, and sadly, I would say, the first Daytona 500 in the last 15 years in which neither Kurt Busch nor Kyle Busch appeared. And, wow, that's something of an inauspicious final thought there for Daytona. Of course, Xfinity, Camping World Truck, they ran at Daytona as well. They will likewise be joining the Sprint Boys, and they ran yesterday in Atlanta. So we've had a threefer 2 weeks in a row. Also, we want to touch on, the question seems to be this week, gentlemen, in the dredging forward and acceptance of the Kurt Busch suspension, there's a lot of pundits out there. Everybody seems to be an expert on the Kurt Busch-Patricia Driscoll situation, and the question is, well, geez, where's the outrage? You know, were this an NFL situation, wouldn't we be all screaming? Wouldn't there be women lined up just absolutely vocally opposed to the idea of domestic violence? So we do want to touch a little bit on that, some of the things I shared over. Obviously, let's chat about Atlanta Motor Speedway as we go. Today's Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 is going to kick off, as Sidekick just mentioned, hopefully without delay, at around 1 p.m., 1:15 green flag. And we'll jump over the wall then and just chit-chat a little bit about some of the ages of our drivers. It's interesting when I started doing a little bit of research to find out who's older than I thought, who's younger than maybe perhaps they should be to be considered a prime candidate to not only win cup races but possibly win a cup championship. So a lot of chit-chat, a lot of fun stuff. Obviously, we'll clean it up with our fantasy picks and who ate some dust last week? Who ate dust and who's a must and all that kind of thing. First question I guess I'll throw out to you. Sidekick, you can answer it for us. How'd you like that Ford sweep of Daytona, right? We had Logano win for Penske. Ryan Reed successfully piloted in the Xfinity. That's the sponsored debut for that race. He did it for Roush Fenway. Tyler Reddick did it last week for the Camping World Truck Series for Brad Keselowski. I mean, my goodness, Ford, I was wondering where they were, but they swept Daytona, man. I mean, you know, and Logano ran from the pole yesterday in Xfinity. I mean, Ford still seems to be the blue oval, the big blue oval, right? No matter what we want to say about TRD or Chevy. Any thought?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want to say, I'm trying to find it here, but I want to say that's the first time I think Ford may have swept the Daytona Speed Weeks down there. So, you know, that was a big surprise coming out of the Ford camp, because we all thought, you know, for sure that, you know, it was going to be a heavy Chevy, you know, Hendrix-dominated field, And sure enough, it wasn't.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, there was Hendrix. I mean, well represented on the front. I mean, we had Junior up front. You had Gordon and you had Johnson, right? I mean, come on, these guys are it. I mean, Casey Kane obviously showed well last week. Interestingly enough, you know, this would be the track that he won last year, albeit again, you know, there was a switch in the schedule. He won this track very late, just before the chase began. But in fact, he was able to punch his ticket. So here we come back to Atlanta. Fast track, as I mentioned, Brandon, my goodness, this could almost be a restrictor plate kind of venue, right? I mean, they get some pretty crazy speeds. This one in, what, Texas? And, you know, you know better than I the fastest tracks out there, but as a non-plate track, right? Atlanta's a big deal.
When this track was first reconfigured and repaved, they were going so fast, there was actually talk of maybe putting restrictor plates on them because they were reaching speeds of like 204, 205 at the end of the straightaways. You know, as the track's worn in a little bit, I think some of that's banked off, you know, come down a little bit on the speed, but it's still a really fast track. They're still, you know, hovering around that 200 mile-an-hour mark at the end of the straightaways. You know, when this pack gets repaved, look out, it could become – you know, one of those that's just, like, scary again. Texas, I think, is going through that at times, too, where, they, you know, right after a repave, it's like, you know, all kinds of grip and the cars go like, you know what. So it's good. I think it's fun because this is a track where you really do conceive the sensation of speed. I mean, it comes through on television that they are moving. You can see it, you know.
Yeah,
well, it may be to the size and, you know, banking combination, but it's a fun race to watch.
Yeah, it's got fast pavement, and it's got, like you said, it's got those high bank corners. As a matter of fact, there's a new car package for this race where they've taken off 75 to 100 horsepower off the motors and decreased the downforce to make the cars a little bit more loose on this track. So, and this will be the first time that we're seeing that this weekend. So, well, yeah, that's going to be one of the keys to this race is who adjusts to this new package the best. So,
are they reducing the horsepower? Just out of curiosity, are they doing it with the chip of the fuel injector or are they doing the restrictor plate?
I don't see how they. It didn't mention how they were reducing the horsepower. It just said they were dropping the horsepower for this package.
That's interesting.
So,
hopefully that Fox covers it on TV. They're usually pretty good about that. Get that cutaway car going and give us all a little insight on how they're doing that. I like that.
Yeah, I do too. And we had some decent qualifying speeds. We didn't really see tire wear per se during the qualifying and practice sessions, but we did see quite a bit of tire wear. I especially noticed last night in the second race, which was the Camping World Truck, quite a bit of tire wear. And they had said that going into the weekend that, you know, we're going to see. Evidently, I guess Goodyear has a unique compound tire where it's a bit thicker and harder and denser on one side of the, I guess, on the outside of the tire versus the inside, a little bit different. No major calamity per se last night, but interesting that tire wear did show up, and it'll be curious to see when we have these slightly faster cars, the sprint cars, if in fact tire wear becomes an issue.
Uncle Mark, real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to say, you know how NASCAR is going to address this tire wear issue?
Mm.
They're not going to let a chunk of the field qualify. That way they don't have they don't have that tire wear issue now. We're only going to let 2/3 of the field qualify. That way the other third, y'all guys don't experience that tire wear.
Well, exactly. And that'll be the Hendricks. That'll be primarily the Hendricks boys, and we want to see them up front. That's really funny because somebody didn't get the memo, right? Because you're really not supposed to screw the pooch. But evidently some of that actually did go on. That's touche. So I came for pointing that out to us. I was going to go someplace with the Daytona thing, but I think you covered it. Boy, that's funny. Oh, yeah, here's what it was. You know what was interesting about Daytona? We didn't have the big one, right, men? We didn't have the big one. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I sat there sort of anticipating the big one. And we had all that nonsense with the qualifying all week long. And, you know, we were smashing up $250,000, $300,000 cars. We were smashing them up like they were plates at a cheap China shop. And, in fact, we didn't really have it. I mean, it was actually good product, I thought, for the Daytona 500, all things considered.
Well, yeah, I mean, we didn't see the big one because Danica actually made it through the race without a wreck.
That was astounding. Yeah,
we did have a moderate one there on the last lap, on that very last lap. You had Jordan, you know, Jeff Gordon, and a couple people got caught up on the backstretch there, which brought out the yellow. And gave Joey Logano the win. So
we were all screaming here that, you know, they wouldn't, in fact, I mean, because it was on the backstretch, we were all worried, were they going to throw the caution and this was going to, you know, set up another GWC. Fortunately, it was well behind, so they allowed the thing to just go ahead under yellow, but it was the finish.
Well,
and, yeah,
I thought we were already under green, the GWC, because
we had that.
Yeah, they had crossed the white flag, so they weren't going to do it. The only thing would have they were discussing was if they're going to let them race back or throw the yellow. And I think they were thinking about letting them race for a minute, but then they had guys on the track and they weren't sure if anybody was injured. And that's when they said, "Well, on the side of safety, we got to throw the caution."
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that Logano would have won had they been allowed to race back to the finish line. I mean, there were some cars lining up behind him. I mean, you don't know. Whoever was second, third, fourth, one of them guys could have popped up. But
yeah, I would have liked to have seen him let him at least get, you know, race to the flag.
But you also got to understand if you got four or five cars piled up on the back and they're not sure if everybody's safe or not, they gotta do what they gotta do.
Yeah.
I mean, especially after the Kyle Busch, you know, getting hurt with the safer wall the other, you know, the race before. They got to be safety conscious. NASCAR can't make any decisions that appear to be, oh, well, we don't have the safety of the drivers in mind, or else they're going to just get lamb blasted in the media.
Yeah,
well, they're already getting that.
Well, it'd be even worse, though.
True.
So
yeah, now
that's probably.
We saw reports, at least, that Kyle has returned to, you know, North Carolina. He is hopefully on the mend. You probably both saw the picture that was shared up on social media. He is in, you know, the wheelchair, both legs casted, you know, hopefully on the mend. But certainly you're right, Brandon. Nobody's forgetting that. And I think a lot of, you know, Kyle fans are feeling the pain almost as acutely as he is, conspicuously absent as he is now from any driving. I mean, my goodness, we had seen him in trucks and would have been, of course, he raced Xfinity last week. I mean, the man drives and races in everything. On the other side of it, of course, we have the Kurt Busch situation. That's been quiet this week, in spite of the fact that I had thought his attorney, Rusty Harden, probably would have made a little more noise in the news and media for attempting to correct what I consider to be an incorrect decision to have this man permanently suspended. I think what we have here is that we have a civil decision without any kind of criminal proceeding. There's been no criminal charges. And, you know, everybody's crying this week. Maybe you've both read it or not. Feel free to jump in. Where's the outrage? Everybody wants the outrage. You know, Stephen A. Smith, other pundits out there saying, well, my goodness, there should be outrage. This is domestic abuse. I'm still not sure who got abused here. I'm wondering if Kurt Busch took the abuse. What's your thought? I mean, I've got the Stephen A. Smith clip on here. If anybody wants to listen to it, we could play it. It's just a couple of minutes. It's completely up to you. But before we do that, I'm going to punt the ball here. Any thoughts? Is there outrage? Have we had outrage? Is it stupidly outrageous to expect the outrage?
One difference I see that I don't like is I don't think you see the outrage of the fact that he's being punished, you know, prior to any actual, you know, criminal decisions being made. And I think there should be more outrage of that. I mean, just yesterday I finally did see through Facebook or something, there is an online petition, you know, that's, you know, demanding NASCAR, reinstate Kurt Busch immediately, that, you know, this isn't right. You don't have any kind of, you know, criminal case even pending at this moment. I mean, nothing, but he said, she said kind of thing from, you know, what a lot of consider to be an unreliable source. I think NASCAR, you know, they were doing it right to begin with, and then they screwed up by reacting to the release of the, you know, written report of this arbitrator. And you know, I don't know why they did it. My opinion is, if you're going to do it, you should have just did it last year. You should have been suspended from the moment that this even came out. If you're going to use that as a impetus to suspend him, you should have used it from the beginning, because nothing's been proven. The wording of the written report even says, you know, something to the effect, well, it's more likely he did than didn't. Oh, and by the way, she did perjure herself during the testimony. So we're going to take that written report that has, you know, that kind of wording in it and say, goodbye, Kurt. You're done indefinitely till we deem necessary. I don't agree with that. I don't know about you, Sidekick, but that's just my opinion.
What say you, Sidekick? I mean, has the NFL opened the door here? Is that who we have to blame? Should we kick them in the jewels for this?
Well, okay. First of all, I think part of the reason we don't have quite the outrage that we saw with Adrian Peterson or Ray Rice is, you know, Ray Rice, there was evidence, you had videotape, you know, which when shown to the public, you know, was a firecracker.
Mm-hmm.
Here we have no real eyewitness accounts. It's a he said, she said kind of situation. You know, it was 6 weeks after, you know, there's no real, you know, It's not like she went straight to the police right afterwards, you know, and, you know, she was black and blue and all this other stuff. So I think there's not quite so much outrage because there isn't any damning evidence here, you know. And I unlike Brandon, I think NASCAR has handled this very well. I think that, you know, initially they didn't suspend Kurt Busch because they said, hey, there's no evidence. There's no, he hasn't been arrested. There's, you know, the woman filed a protection order. There's an investigation ongoing. But right now there's, you know, there's nothing to go on. So we're not going to suspend him at this time until we have something a little bit more concrete in this. Okay. The week before Daytona, you had the judge come out or whatever they are. You know, some reports say a judge, others say a commissioner. Of the court.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know the state of Delaware that well, so I have no idea what the heck this guy is. You know, other than he was somebody that made a, you know, did an investigation and worked for the state, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he comes out and he says, okay, I'm going to issue this protection of order. There may have been, we believe that there was domestic abuse. But obviously it's not criminal. There's been no arrest. It's just a protection order at this point.
Right. There's more evidence than not, right. Evidently, right. It would seem, it would more appear than not, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think NASCAR took the right step. I don't like the timing. I think the timing of it stunk. But I think NASCAR did the right thing by saying, hey, okay, there's now been a protection order, an investigation completed. It sounds like there could be, so there could have been domestic abuse. So we're going to suspend you pending an outcome of whatever legal proceedings or whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think NASCAR had to suspend him based on that issue of protection order.
Well, here's what's interesting to me, and I don't know. Again, you know, it is sort of a question of which side is actually true. But Patricia Driscoll has indicated, and she's gotten certainly more FaceTime and media time. Kurt Busch has been very quiet about this throughout. But Driscoll has intimated that, in fact, in the state of Delaware, she made an approach with Kurt following this situation and offered as an olive branch the idea that they could together approach the court about an idea of separation, an idea of not so much protection, but an agreement that they would maintain separation. They would not have contact with one another. And in fact, in Delaware, the two parties can do this, according to her statement. And in fact, had that been the case, it would not have carried the sanction or the appearance of sanction and judgment that it does now. In other words, this has been imposed upon Kurt Busch, this idea that, okay, you've got to stay away from her. But in fact, they could have jointly gone and under the guise and auspice of just being a civil arrangement, we'll agree that we're not going to have any contact with one another, and he would have found his rights as equally protected as her. In other words, either of them would have been considered a violator had they decided to cross over, and at that point it would become contentious. But going in fact, her statement is, I tried to get him to come on board. We could have done this amicably. There wouldn't have been all of the sanction involved. But in fact, her contention is he saw that as, oh, no, you're not threatening me. And that's why it has gone to this next step. I just find the process ridiculous. I mean, it started in December. It should have been a series of hours long. And here we were dragging it into the new year, into January. Now we're starting up the NASCAR season, and as you say, Sidekick, the timing couldn't have been worse. I mean, they literally dropped the hammer, 24 hours, 48 hours prior to green flag of the Daytona 500. Just absolutely wrong, in my view. I mean, again, there's been no criminal there's been no criminal conviction of anything here. I thought we were innocent until proven guilty. I have a hard time with this one still. I mean, why not throw fines at him? Throw fines at him. You know, throw a point sanction at him. Do something like that that is retrievable then on the backside. What do you say?
Well, I do agree to you to some extent on that. But I think in view of how sensitive everyone is now to domestic abuse,
mm-hmm.
You have to err on the side of caution, if you want to call it that. I'm not, mm-hmm. And I think the right thing to do is, I mean, a suspension is not, I don't view suspending the driver as a, what's the word I'm looking for? A guilty decision against somebody. It's just saying, hey, you know, you may have gotten in some trouble and we're going to suspend you in the, you know, short term until we figure out what's going on here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Get you right. Suspended, so, pending termination. We've heard it in the workplace. Right.
You know what I mean?
I got you.
And,
yeah, right.
You know, and if everything clears up, hey, no harm, no foul. You go back to racing. You know, I mean, he's not getting his driver.
Well, there's harm.
He's not getting his driver points and stuff like that. But, you
that's
know,
correct.
At the same time, you know, you can't really just let the guy keep, you know, playing or racing.
The comparison is made to Travis Quappel. Travis Quappel didn't miss a race. You know, similar situation, albeit a bit more aggravated by the virtue he was, in fact, charged. Travis Quappel. I mean, there was domestic violence in his situation, but again, that was a pre-NFL era, right?
Exactly.
I mean, we're not talking, that's not ancient history, certainly, but, you know, it's just interesting that the rules have changed in, you know, a little over 18 months or 24 months between one event and the other, and everybody's saying, well, which is the correct way? Oh, we do it this way. Oh, no. Now we've changed it. We're in the post-NFL world, so now we're going to change, and we're gonna change the rules a little bit, and now it's going to be like this. Is everybody on board?
Get some facts and come back and see me.
Boy, I really would like to. I don't know. You know, I'm still very confused.
And, you know, you were talking about Patricia Driscoll earlier, you know, saying about, you know, how she's on TV and she said, you know, I offered this to him and different things. You know, Patricia Driscoll is a PR machine.
Without a doubt.
And that's why I think you got Kirk just laying back, you know, his attorney saying, don't say nothing to nobody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because he says one word out of context and it's going to go off, you know, like dynamite.
Yeah,
She knows how to, you know, she's doing interviews. She's on TV. She knows exactly what she's doing. And she knows that she screwed up a couple spots in this whole proceedings, you know, and she's got to change. She understands that she's on shaky ground with the public because not everybody's buying her story.
Well, there's two things that she did prior to this that should make everything, you know, look at it with a grain of salt. One, she came out and threatened to ruin him publicly with another member of the NASCAR community. And mm-hmm. there was a reverend or somebody she went to seek counsel afterwards who's come on record and say, I saw no evidence of anything right after the event, like no marks on her, no nothing. So, you know, I'm wondering if she took an event, blew it out of proportion, you know, and then, you know, set out to ruin this man because, you know, they broke up whatever, you know, family issues that they were going to do or not going to do. I don't know if they were heading for, you know, wedding bells or not, but I know this. I do remember Kurt Busch was very active with her son and, you know, doing things with him. I mean, they posted about it online a lot. And so I could understand there being a hurt factor there. But, I mean, if you're sitting here telling people you're going to set out to ruin him and, you know, I don't know. I just find it very hard to make your story plausible at that point. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just me. That's where I, you know, I can't, you can't say one thing and then, you know, think it's going to hold up.
Yeah. Well, I think she's totally gone off the deep end in the whole jilted lover thing, but she's, you know, but she's playing up her public image,
mm-hmm.
you know, and coming on TV with those fake tears and, you know, and everything. Oh, you know, and, you know, oh, I tried to give him an olive branch, and you know how Kurt Busch is. He's such an angry guy and mm-hmm. this, that, you know, come on. Really?
Yeah,
this,
I
this
agree.
Is strict.
Yeah.
This is strictly a mm-hmm. my image versus your image. Yeah,
I hear you. And she's definitely advancing hers. She's getting herself out there. That's for sure.
Yeah,
oh,
there's
she's...
no doubt. There's no doubt about that. And you know, interestingly, although it's probably very difficult for him, I believe that Kurt Busch is doing the right thing by attempting, I guess, to take the high road in silence. And at the same time, you know, for all of his outlaw persona, and we know there has been bad blood between he and his ex-wife, interestingly enough, we have not seen her jump on board one side or the other. Obviously, if she's had bad experience with Kurt, she may be lacking to come to his defense, but at the same time, we have not seen her jump on board the Driscoll train and say, yeah, this guy's got it coming, and, you know, I'm going to side in on that. So I find it somewhat interesting and telling that despite the contention here, this remains still a he said, she said affair. It has not actually blown up, unlike, let's say, the Ray Rice thing. Which became not only a frenzy in you know, New Jersey, but then spread into Baltimore and then took over the whole league because it was so completely outrageous. We haven't seen it go to that level, and for that reason, I guess rightfully so, maybe there isn't a great deal of outrage. Maybe there should be, maybe there shouldn't. But at the same time, I think we should see some closure. I'd like to see the wheels continue to turn. If, in fact, now he's been suspended, well, come on now. We've pushed that boulder. We're going to get that moving. Let's get that sucker rolling, and let's come to a conclusion then. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of where I'm at. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you've started the engines. Let's fire it up. I don't know. That's kind of where,
you know,
I mean, let's have some resolution.
I totally agree with you. It you know, it's go time now. You know, pooper,
right.
Get off the pot.
Absolutely,
you know?
Right. Absolutely.
Okay,
right.
You think you got charges? Bring it on. Let's go. Let's see what you got. You know, because we're not going to keep this guy. You know, we're not going to sit here and suspend him for a whole year, pending. You know, waiting for this lawsuit to happen or whatever. You know.
NASCAR has to give.
Yeah, and, you know, NASCAR season goes on forever, you know. You know, we talk about, you know, it kicks off, you know, a week or two after the Super Bowl, and we go all the way up until the middle of November.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, this needs to either, you know, somebody's going to have to make some noise, or they're going to have to, you know, say, look, you know, we're going to, if there's nothing going, we're going to have to let them start racing again.
Mm-hmm. Now here we go. Let's switch gears as we head down to Atlanta, and we are, you know, preparing to get on board for a great big track that we're going to be heading to, a mile and a half down there in Georgia. Fast track, as we said. What came into play, obviously, following the Kyle Busch accident last week was, hey, we've got to get safer barriers installed. We've got to make these tracks safer. Evidently, there's been scrambling. It's amazing how tires suddenly appear, but a mad load of tires were installed in a couple of spots at the Georgia location to hopefully, you know, stave off any kind of serious driver injury. Safer barriers. Have we waited too long, men, for some of this stuff? I mean, I was chatting, Brandon, you and I were chatting. I mean, a lot of tracks, the predominance of tracks are owned by either ISC or SMI. They come under the sanction of NASCAR if they're not outright just subsidiaries of NASCAR. Now we're getting, you know, we're hearing the scrambling talk from Joey Chipwood and Steve O'Donnell and et al. Up the line. Oh, my goodness, if it's not for safety, this sport is just pointless. Well, where the heck have we been? Where the heck have we been? You know, I go back to it. I mean, we lost Dale Sr. You know, it's 14 years ago. Why have we waited so long? Or am I just being a hard on here? I mean,
No, I don't think so. I think you're right on. I think here's where I think the safety breakdown occurred. Right, not too long after Dale Earnhardt, you know, passed, they did have the safer barrier, you know, developed and come out, and they said it was very expensive, and all the tracks slowly got on the bandwagon, and they did. They all got the outside walls done. The problem was the inside walls.
Right.
What happened was after the tracks got done getting all the outside walls done, they should have kept going instead of just, okay, well, we'll spend our money on other projects now instead of doing every surface that, you know, it's not as likely they're going to hit there or, you know, history has shown, you know, the cars don't crash here at this part of the track, so we're not going to worry about that wall. Well, that's what happens, unfortunately, is, you know, something like this will occur where Kyle Busch goes on the inside of a track at way higher rate of speed than anybody would expect and break both, you know, feet and ankles and all kinds of problems. And, you know, they should have kept this going, this initiative going, till they completed it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think part of the outrage, and I think Sidekick had mentioned it prior, you know, because of the ongoing Daytona Experience project down there, you know, they were called out, say, hey, you got money to spend on, you know, building grandstands that people aren't sitting in, but you can't finish, you know, putting safer barriers other places. Well, when you start looking at it, the big picture, you know, that's why they kind of ended up with some egg on their face. So hopefully they'll be smarter and continue to do this. The thing I find funny is, why don't they put other stuff up until the safer wall's there? I mean, we've seen it at road courses and other forms of racing where they have, like, you know, temporary air fence or they'll just take some old tires and put some, you know, bundles of tires in front of, you know, these things to absorb the impact prior to the hard wall. I don't understand why that kind of stuff doesn't happen more, you know, or even, you know, way back when they used to use hay bales, where they,
yeah,
you know, you
right.
just wrap them in a white, you know, a white cover or whatever, and, you know, if they hit them, then hay flies everywhere. I don't understand why they don't do that kind of stuff on some of these walls that don't have safer barriers. It's cheaper. They could implement it relatively quickly. I mean, you know, you could have the entire, you know, track for wherever they're going next week, Las Vegas, any hard surface, I'm sure you could have something, you know, up there in between that and the hard wall. I don't understand why they don't do that. I don't know. I mean, I get the whole safer barrier is probably the best answer because it's attached and it's not going to move. And, you know, I don't know. I wish they would do more.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You know, interestingly, in looking at the track locations used by the three national series, I mean, the preponderance of them at the cup level are, once again, owned and operated either by Speedway Motorsports Incorporated or International Speedway Corporation. Either one or the other controls the majority of those venues, with, you know, three that jump right out at the cup level. That would be Dover Motorsports Incorporated. Of course, they own the Dover track. You've got Pocono Raceway, right? That's here in Pennsylvania. And, of course, the granddaddy of them all is Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Now, interestingly enough, those three tracks will all continue to place a focus on the safer barrier technology, but they've all three have made particular strides in effecting that change. Those tracks that really come under, once again, you know, tend to be a little conspiratorial about this. Those that come under, you know, some of the real watchful eye of NASCAR tend to be the very tracks that kind of NASCAR has sanctioned and, you know, possibly are subsidiary to. So what I did, I went and I started in looking at, for instance, the Xfinity Series tracks. We've got Iowa Speedway. We've got Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. We've got Road America. They're three more or less independent tracks, although Iowa actually, since 2013, has become a NASCAR subsidiary for the Xfinity, formerly Nationwide Series. But Mid-Ohio, interestingly enough, is one of the few tracks that jump right out. They have completely put the safer barrier around the interior walls as well as the exterior walls. So there's a good example of a, what would you call, sort of an independently owned track that's done the right thing. And obviously these venues, Iowa, Mid-Ohio, Road America, they run multiple events. It's not just NASCAR, clearly. And just to fill out the thought, you know, in the Camping World Truck Series, Gateway Motor Sports Park, that's in Illinois. That's actually not terribly far from where our sidekick hails. That's just east of St. Louis. No, I'm wrong. That's Illinois. My fault. Yeah, there is a St. Louis, Illinois out there. Also, Eldora Speedway, that's another one. Hey, we know who owns that. Only Tony Stewart. He's owned that since 2011. Of course, that's more of a sprint cup track. That's more of a dirt track. But once again, if we're going to race trucks, you know, is the safer barrier technology in place? And the only other one that I have on my list here would be Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. That's in Ontario. And that, too, is essentially a NASCAR sort of subsidiary because we have NASCAR Canada. You know, people don't necessarily think of it, but yes, indeed, folks, we do have NASCAR America, but you also have NASCAR Canada. So it's interesting. We've had some conversation coming out of the loss of two premier drivers out of NASCAR. The Kurt Busch lends itself to a lot of ethical questions. On the flip side, we have the loss of Kyle Busch. And, you know, we're going to continue to have the questions of safer barriers and safety in the sport. You said it, Sidekick, this, or Brandon, perhaps you did. This is, you know, one of the longest seasons of sports that we have running, you know, what, 9-10 months long. So I guess we have still some work to do, boys, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
It would be nice to see a couple of those tracks. I know, for instance, Fred Helps, Mike, really likes the Road America out there in Wisconsin. You've said it before, Brandon. It's sort of in the middle of nowhere. But, you know, it's a funny thing. That track has been going since 1955. I mean, that's pretty good. Isn't that
wild? I personally love that track. I mean, the motorcycles,
right?
I follow, one of the series I follow runs there. I would love to go there. I'd love to ride on that track. The problem with that track for NASCAR point of view, which I guess for Xfinity is not a big deal, is it's in the middle of absolutely nowhere. It's an hour away from Green Bay, which is a very small city, you know, in the scheme of, you know, markets. And it's not like there's anything else even remotely, you know, right around the corner. I mean, so that's the problem for Road America. It's just its location. It's just unfortunate because it would be a great venue. I would love to see the Sprint Cup cars go there. But I just don't think you'd see it because, one, I don't know if they'd have the infrastructure, you know, like hotels and stuff. You'd probably get some people to go at first. They, you know, usually when you have a new venue, they have pretty good sales the first couple years till people see what they're in for. And it's such a great track. They're great. So I don't know. I don't know why they can't.
It's amazing because in spite of its maybe far-flung distance in some corner of Wisconsin, it has maintained continuous operation since 1955, and we've seen newer tracks that have come and gone in a lot less time. So they're obviously doing something right. Maybe that's the secret to it. It's like Brigadoon out there. You can't really find it, but once you get there, you never want to leave.
I would love to be able to go to Road America. There's several, you know, Xbox and PlayStation racing games that you get to race Road America. Mm-hmm. And it's a blast in the game. I mean, I'd love to get out there and watch some races. So.
All right, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's throw the number out. If anybody's out there, you can feel free to reach in and holler at us, 347-826-9964. We're chit-chatting all things NASCAR. As I said, we don't really have NHRA. We will be inviting our own frat house Mike back with us in an upcoming Sunday show. Of course, he can feel free to call us at any time. That's not necessarily to say he cannot. But he will be joining us with an update of NHRA as we get closer to their next set of heats, which will be the Gator Nationals. But that's going to be going forward in the future. So we're going to leave the NHRA chat off the table today. And so we've just kind of focused in on NASCAR. Here's some fun. You know, we're talking about men. You know, here it is, Jeff Gordon. We're going through this Jeff Gordon thing. This is his swan song. This will be his final, as we know, full-time appearance at the Cup level. He's 43 years old, Jeff Gordon. He looks pretty good, I'll say that, for 43. He could pass for probably 5 years younger than that. But interestingly, I mean, he's in his 22nd year already driving. Came in 93 with Hendrick at the age of 22. So he's got 22 years of driving. He came in at 22. Of course, he's 43, but he will be 44 in August. So there's the math. I've got to do it with my fingers. But it's interesting to me that he would consider hanging it up. But when you say, well, 22-year career, that's pretty good. I mean, in any other sport, you know, what are you getting in the NFL? Certainly not that long. You're certainly not going that long in MLB. Unless you're going to be a DH for like the last five years of your career. So in terms of motorsports, you can have, I guess, that longevity. You can go 20 years plus. Older drivers, we could probably mention, both of you know, who drove maybe 15, 20 years. So it got me to thinking, okay, wow, ages, you know. Who do we have that's older, per se, than Gordon? Well, you know, there's a handful you can come up with right off the top of your head. Michael Waltrip, right? He's out there. I guess he's 51, 52, right? We got Bobby Labonte, right? Now, he's not full-time, and neither's Waltrip. Oh, front row Joe Nemechek, right? We saw him drive yesterday. He's 52. Maybe, I don't know, is Nemechek still a full-timer with the Camping World Truck Series? But essentially, these guys in their 50s that I'm mentioning, they don't really run full-time. They run, you know, more or less a part-time. They fill in, that kind of thing. So it got me to thinking, you know, at 44, 45, Gordon's calling it quits. In the meantime, we have younger and younger and younger and younger pilots. My goodness, when we start to really go down to it, I mean, Chase Elliott, right? He's running full-time in the Xfinity. He just turned 19, right? We've got Ryan Blaney. He just turned 21 last December. He's running Sprint Cup full-time. Trevor Bayne just turned 24. He's running full-time. That puts those couple in line at 24 and 21 with somebody like a Gordon when he came in. He was 22. But it started to get me thinking, is NASCAR a little different than other sports where not only you can run a longer career later in life, but is 45, 50, is that the cutoff? Is it going to change? Is it going to shift back? Any thoughts? Anybody want to give the wheel a spin and play here? Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
$450 pretty cool.
Yeah, for $450, what do you say, Brandon?
Well, it does look to be trending younger, the sport.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that it's going to, you know, you're not going to see one off, you know, or, you know, every once in a while somebody stay in longer than they want. I don't think you're going to see Tony Stewart hanging up anytime soon. I think mm-hmm. he's going to be racing into his 50s, at least in Cup. I mean, he mm-hmm. may hang up some of the ancillary driving, obviously, as he's already kind of talked about with the sprint cars. But, you know, I'm actually a little surprised Gordon's hanging it up. And it's sounding more and more like he's done. He's not even going to come back and play around once in a while. They were saying that this is probably his last Daytona 500. I mean, I'm surprised. Maybe he'll be away for a year and he'll get the itch and decide, you know, I can still do that. I'll do that, you know, for half the races or something. I'm just a little shocked that he's walking away so cleanly and coldly when he's clearly still a very capable driver. I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Sidekick? Would you want to be walking away at our age?
Well, obviously we don't know his situation.
Yeah.
And totally the reason behind him wanting to go. I mean, I'd probably still want to race. I mean, for crying out loud, I'm 45 and I'm doing MMA. I'm getting punched.
Yeah.
I get punched in the face all the time. So, yeah. If you look at Jeff, Jeff Gordon, the person, you know, he's got his wife, he's got a kid. You know, he may want to, there may be some, it's a long season. You know, wouldn't you really like to see your girl, your daughter and, raise your daughter? Plus, remember, a couple years back, he had that bad wreck where he jacked his back up really good.
Yeah, I have heard he has had issues with that.
And, every once in a while he gets in an accident or something, it flares up. And he talks about, how what he has to do to actually get into a car. And I'm wondering if that doesn't play into this a little bit that, he's like, hey, my back's not, my back's not doing as well as it used to, and that's why he's decided he's going to hang it up.
Mm-hmm. Interestingly, Matt Kenseth, I was surprised to find he's 43 years old this coming March. Did you know that? I mean, that's during the month. Today's March 1st. During this month, Matt Kenseth will turn 43. I was kind of surprised by that. Now, Tony Stewart at 44 in May, he's already won a championship. But is it really too late for Greg Biffle? I mean, Greg Biffle hasn't. Right, he hasn't won, has he? A championship at the cup level?
I don't see him ever winning.
He
at the
just
cup
turned
level.
45. He's going to be 46, but not during the season. But he's 45 years old. I mean, is he past his prime at this point?
Well, I don't think he ever had the talent. I'll be honest with you. He was good in the lower levels. I'm pretty sure he won a truck championship and or an Xfinity, but he just never had it at the cup level. He doesn't have that. I don't know. There's always something about him
right.
When you look at him. You don't pass the eye test, mm-hmm. on the track. His driving is – he's too erratic. He's not consistent. He doesn't run well at all the tracks. He doesn't have the makings of a champion.
So you believe it's talent, not equipment, that he lacks there,
I think
right.
It is for him, yeah. I mean, if right. he had talent, I think he'd still have a shot. I think, the other guys you mentioned, I think Kenseth and Stewart, I think they're still well in the hunt for a championship. Kenseth mm-hmm. actually came up as a rookie with Dale Earnhardt Jr. So they got to be pretty close in age. He may have been a couple years older going into it, but they were actually in the rookie of the year fight together when they were first in Sprint Cup. So they've been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I know that.
Well, you got
actually
Junior's just 40, right? Johnson's 40 in September, Harvick 40 in December. So you got those guys right on the bubble there. Is it time for Junior? Sidekick, huh?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, going back to the Biff, the Biff is actually the same age as Brandon and I. He's, we're both November 69 babies, mm-hmm. and he's a December 69 baby.
Right.
He does have a Busch Series championship and a Truck Series championship. Like we were saying, he's not I don't know if the talent's necessarily there, and maybe it would take him moving to another organization to to up his game a little bit and that. But with Junior, the Junior's going to be around for for a while, along with a lot of these guys. I mean, look at how late Mark Martin was running.
Mm-hmm.
Racing is a physical sport. A lot of people, drivers aren't athletes. Drivers are athletes. I'm sorry. You can't just be, you know, some, you know, run-of-the-mill, you know, get in the car, you know, eating the buffet every day, Andy Reid type character, you know, and get out, you know.
Andy Reid couldn't fit in the window.
Well, exactly. You know what I mean? Takes a lot to, you know, and it takes a lot to run these cars around a track for 500 miles, you know. I mean, you know.
Especially in the heat of summer when it gets hot. You see these guys get out there drenched.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got to have
dehydrated.
Yeah. I agree with 100% on that.
But it's interesting. It's interesting because we would have said the same of Gordon, though, sidekick, and that is, ah, come on, this guy's going to be around for a long time. But here he is. He's turning around saying, you know what, this is it for me.
Well, but, you know, he's had that the back issues. Mm-hmm. You know, watch Denny Hamlin.
Mm-hmm.
Denny Hamlin missed, you know, a good chunk a couple of years ago with back issues.
Yep.
He may be a guy to, you know, that makes it earlier than suspected departure,
right,
from NASCAR,
and strictly for physical, right,
right, mm-hmm. and both of them are back issues. I don't think if you had some other, you know, like a nagging shoulder problem or something, you'd see somebody. But you know, sitting in them cars with a bad back cannot be any fun.
Yeah, know, I would agree with that. That's probably a big part of Gordon.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about, you know, career spans in sports like football, baseball, you know, hockey, basketball, whatever. You know, NASCAR, while there is physical conditioning involved, I think a lot of what NASCAR is, bigger toll, is mental acuity and mm-hmm. how sharp you stay mentally. And I think that's, you know, you know, you look at Mark Martin, he had, you know, he worked out a lot and, you know, was, you know, doing, you know, all that crazy stuff, you know, crossfitting and, you know,
yep.
and staying healthy. But I think also mentally, you know, he's sharp as a tack. And I think, you know, that plays a lot into how well and how long you can race.
Yeah, you know, I might agree. You know, it's interesting because we were laughing and joking, you know, pre-show last evening, Brandon and I talking about Morgan Shepherd. Well, there he is. Believe it or not, the guy's out there running trucks. He's 73, going to be 74 years old. He's still going. To me, I mean, boy, is that the extreme? I mean, that's pretty incredible. Don't get me wrong. But,
right.
I really thought Morgan Shepherd had hung it up, but there he was. He was out there running at, again, 73, 74. So I guess there is something to be said for, yeah, the mental alert and sharpness factor. Carl Edwards, arguably one of the most physically fit guys, right, maybe in the circuit. He's that mid-30 pack. There's a lot of guys right in the mid-30 pack that – probably would do themselves a favor with a championship. Edwards, Boyer, Casey Kane, pardon me, Martin Truex Jr., right? Those guys are all 35. You know, are we getting close to where it's a pivotal time for some of these guys? Throw in Ryan Newman, he's 37. Throw in Jamie McMurray, who was a surprising 39 to me. I didn't realize Jamie Mack was that old. I mean, you know, another year or two, and some of these guys are going to maybe flirt with irrelevance, or is that what's great about NASCAR? Anybody can win any given year.
Yeah, that I think that's part of it. I think you get a little bit more longevity. That's part of what makes it so good. I mean, and you're right. Any one guy may hit on something. You know, Jamie McMurray, you pointed on last year, that team seemed to be finding stuff at the end of last year. I'd expect to see good things out of that team, you know, him and Larson this year. So we'll see. I mean, I think that's part of the intrigue of NASCAR when it comes right down to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they can go longer, but, you know, some guys, as Sidekick pointed out, have physical problems, you know, and others seem to make it through without getting, you know, any major injuries. So, you know, I think that's a lot of it. I mean, Denny Hamlin, when he pointed him up, I mean, that guy's been beating around something fierce the last few years. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's somebody you'd almost have to watch to retire, really soon. And I what did you say his – I didn't catch. Did you get Hamlin's name in there, his age in there?
No.
Yeah. I don't know if I included – do I have Hamlin here?
I don't know that I've got him.
Yeah, I didn't actually list him, interestingly enough, but I'm guessing he's in that 35 to 40 window right there with Bowyer and Paul Menard, Casey Kane. Those guys
he
are all in that 30.
34.
There you go. So he's right
November.
He's right on the bubble. Right
yeah.
on the bubble. You know, when you look at the, like, I guess under 35 group, the only champion that jumps right out is Brad Keselowski. At 31, but you know, some of those others that are sort of also rans, you know, you have Aric Almirola, right? Is he viable? That's a small team, you know, that he runs with Petty, despite the fact Petty's such a big name. That's a really small team. Hopefully Brian Vickers will be, you know, coming back for MWR, but he too, you know, he's relatively young at just 31. You would think maybe Vickers might be able to step up and do something going forward. AJ Allmendinger, 34. Of course, he's been in and out of the sport. Not really in and out of racing per se, but you know, we've seen him at the NASCAR level. We saw him then, you know, with the Adderall or whatever it was. He was out and suspended for a while. Now he's back. So Allmendinger, you know, could he be a player? And certainly we can't forget the drone strike, although everybody would like to. How long until she's gone? Come on, man. I mean, really, huh? What did we say? It's a contract year for her?
Yep. If she shows anything at all this year, I think she's going to stay around.
I just can't believe the press.
I think they're going to keep her just for that.
The press and the exposure. I have been overexposed with Danica already, and she doesn't do anything. I'm sorry. She doesn't do anything. You see,
hey, even had to see.
They want to talk about... She's qualifying better. She's running harder. She's trying better. Oh, please. Oh, please. My goodness, we've just named a whole bunch of people to me that are worth more. I'll take your Danica Patrick, and I'll raise you an Aric Almirola, and I'll get a championship there. That's just me, though.
but here's one of the things that I think may be key for Stuart Haas Racing and whether or not they bring her back after this season. And that, you know, we're all talking about, you know, wins and performance and stuff. How much money, sponsorship money, is she bringing to that organization? And, you know, what do their books look like? You know, if they get rid of Danica Patrick, you know, do they take a big hit money-wise?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the whole GoDaddy renewal is what this is hinging on.
Right.
You know, GoDaddy brings a lot of dollars into that organization, and, you know,
right.
if GoDaddy's on board, I think she stays, and that'll be the end of it.
You can't kill the goose that laid the golden egg, and I get that. But, you know, if I were to draw the parallel to another sport, and that would be the NFL, I think what we have, and we'll wait to see what happens with Cleveland Browns, but essentially what we saw with Johnny Football for Cleveland last year was essentially what we have in Danica for Stuart Haas and NASCAR all the time, and that is we have an excellent merchandising tool, we have a good media vehicle, but essentially the product is open for debate as far as is there really inherent quality to the product. Clearly we didn't see enough of Johnny Football maybe yet to make that determination definitively, but I see that in another league as being a natural sort of counterbalance to Danica, because I don't know that necessarily we're seeing the same quality and caliber. Oh, yes, we're seeing merchandising. We're seeing a vehicle. We're seeing media. We're seeing dollars. But, I mean, come on, man. You mean to tell me that fourth Stewart seat can't be taken up by somebody that could actually drive home a winner? Come on, man. If she was in less equipment, I don't even think she'd be in the conversation. That's just my take.
I agree with you there. I think, you know, you look at her record, and it's not that they're, you know, she's the worst driver in the series. I mean, there's, you know, there's other drivers. So I think she has a spot talent-wise, I think she has a spot in the Sprint Cup Series, with all fairness to her. But I don't know if she belongs in that organization. She's like a Wood Brothers or a Front Row or a BK Racing type talent. She's not a Stuart Haas quality driver. And I think that organization wants winners. And Danica's not a winner.
But
so,
she is a generator. So yes. You're right. And it does go back to your first argument, and I absolutely agree. I mean, she does do a lot for the sport. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And you're right. Without her in the mix, would it be the same? Who's going to replace her? I don't know. Everybody's tired of the Hendricks folks, and we like the whole what gender, apparent gender equity that's involved. All right, I'm going to throw it out there. We're just a couple of minutes going overtime here, and we're going to probably be signing off shortly. But if you'd like to reach out and join us, please feel free to do so. Chatting up some NASCAR, we're going to slide into a little bit of fantasy chat here to clean up our program today. But 347-826-9964. I'm joined today by my crew chief, Brandon. We are joined on the line by our own frat house sidekick. He is, of course, our resident champion in fantasy. However, if you men got a chance to look at the outline, we had of course first time winner for the new year. Kimber Sue put it all together last week. I can't believe it, right? Somebody had to win that Daytona thing, and boy, didn't she do it. She came in number one, and I see in the number five place, we did have Spring Rubber in the rear, got her loose. That would be a sidekick team. And there's Brandon just outside. Boy, you were so close. I was that close. But there's Brandon, number 11 spot with his B. Hain Destroyers. So you guys both did actually very well. I'm not even on the board. I didn't even make it. I think I ran minus points.
Well, that,
oh, no.
Actually, yeah, but the frat house sports team that, you know, the litmus test, will you say,
right.
Finished 25th.
Yeah, right.
The reigning champion didn't do so well.
So we've got a little bit of work to do, right?
I was going to say, you probably got some picks for us to maybe redeem that team, right?
Right. Now, do you have the sound? Do we have, we got our sound ready for sidekick?
I'm looking for it.
Yeah, right, there it is.
I got too
it.
Many
I
sounds.
Got it. Okay, here. Is we want to bring him in. Come on, sidekick. Give us some good advice here. We are going to Atlanta today. Who should we be driving with?
Well, let's see here. Basically, I didn't change my roster up this week for...
I thought you were going to say, basically, I didn't do any picks. Yeah, I didn't pick
any. I looked at my roster, you know, from last week, and, you know, and I suffered some adversity with Brad Keselowski and Jeff Gordon.
Right.
You know, but I think for the Reeds Eastbound and Downers, I think they're going to actually... come back this weekend. So I'm sticking with Dale Jr., Jeff Gordon,
okay,
Mr. Keselowski, frat house show fan, Cole Witt, and Landon Castle. I'm going with Jeff Gordon to win, and Chevy is my manufacturer.
Okay, so we got Jay. All right, so Gordon to win, and right, obviously, yeah. I mean, I would find it hard to pick a driver that didn't run that manufacturer. So, okay, Gordon and Chevy. All right, so that's our
sidekick, is Gordon your eat your dust pick as well?
Yes, what? Right. We could go there, Gordon, as well, right? We're going to – that's our own in-house sort of thing.
Right,
eat my dust picks. Who do you – is that right, sidekick?
He's going with Gordon across the board.
All right, yep. So he's going Gordon, eat my dust. Now, interestingly, Sidekick gathered up 3 points with his pick last week of Junior, as did Brandon. You likewise picked Junior. And they wound up in the, you know, the top three. So you got 3 points. I got just a couple points in that Eat My Dust last week. I thought Hamlin was going to actually win it. He was in it, but I got a couple of points for at least picking Hamlin as a top five guy. Right. Who wants to share next? I think we have even Fred House Mike's picks, right?
I have both. If you'd like, I can give you Fred House Mike's, and then I'll give you mine.
How about
that?
Yeah, do that, Brandon. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, well, Fred House Mike does have a team, and, mm-hmm. and his fantasy team, which he actually does say, you know, he feels good about it. He likes it. You know, he feels it's a pretty strong team, and I kind of agree with him. He's going to start off with that Carl Edwards, okay. and then teammate Denny Hamlin, so he's got a real strong
Joe Gibbs
a little further, Joe Gibbs, but he also has Casey Kane from Hendrick, Martin Truex from the front row, and then he's rounded it out with David Ragan, the final Joe Gibbs driver for this week. He's picked Carl Edwards to be the winner and his Eat My Dust pick, and because of all that, obviously, he's got to go with Toyota for the manufacturer.
All right.
And that's a solid team. Carl Edwards, I like the Carl Edwards pick. I couldn't find a way to get him on my team because I didn't want to change too many of my core guys. So,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, I didn't do that. So I'll give you mine here. My fantasy team for my main, the Behane 333 Destroyer team, I'm going to go with my three, you know, anchors, as I've called them for the last, I don't know, year and a half now, Dale Jr., Kevin Harvick, and Brad Keselowski. I actually kind of switched it up a little bit this week, though, on my bottom guys, and I'll tell you why I did it. I want to see how it goes. I picked both our fill-in drivers. I got David Ragan and Ragan Smith, who are filling in for Kyle and Kurt Busch. I wanted to see how this works out, and
right.
I'm going to give them a go. They're riding good equipment. I could make it fit into my team. My race winner and Eat My Dust pick is going to be Kevin Harvick. I know Kevin Harvick blew a motor. I got to go with Kevin Harvick because he's on the team. I kind of was flirting around with going with Carl Edwards for the Eat My Dust, but it's like I want to keep everything consistent, so I'm going to stick with Harvick. And I want to pick a guy that's on my team, and I don't feel like taking Harvick off my team to add Carl in there, so I'm going to just go with Harvick. I know he's starting at the back, but he put a whipping on him in Xfinity yesterday, and I think he'll be fine. It's a long race. He'll come up. He'll find a way. And, of course, just to follow it up, of course, I'm taking Chevrolet because I'm picking a Chevy guy to win. So that's where we're at.
All right. I like it. So I guess, I don't know, I should probably give the wheel a spin here myself. See.
500.
All right, for 500, here's what we're going to do. And this is, you know, I'm bound to lose, so if you're listening out there, I'm telling you exactly what roster not to pick up, folks. 347-826-9964. You heard it here first. All right, I'm going with Denny Hamlin, 26-25. I like Brad Keselowski. I don't know why. I mean, Logano's run strong, but I'm going to run with Brad Keselowski as my second guy. Like that McDonald's car. I'm going to run with Jamie Mack. I think Jamie McMurray last year, maybe, I don't know, I'm hoping. To fill in the roster, I'm going with David Ragan. It's a good value, and I like the 18 car. And my bottom feeder this week is going to be Trevor Bayne for $11, interestingly enough. On the fantasy side, I'll go with McMurray to win in a Chevy. But for the Eat My Dust choice, I'm actually picking Keselowski. I'm going with the Ford driver on our little in-house thing that we're choosing.
I'm going with
Bad Brad, and we'll see what happens. He might be due. We saw Logano do it all. And, of course, even yesterday, you know, once again, Logano very strong in the Xfinity series. But for Harvick coming on strong, early on, it looked like it was going to be his race to win. Final thought, I guess, conspiracy theorists have to say the 88 has to win today, right? Because we saw the 88 win yesterday with Harvick piloting for JR Jr. Motorsports. And we saw, of course, Matt Crafton do it in the 88 Menards truck. So, I mean, isn't it a fait accompli? Who picked him? I think that's that would be Brandon picking up Jr., right? So the 88, we might as well just mark it down. Mark it down.
Well,
right?
I have the 88 on my team, but I'm picking Harvick to win the race. I think Harvick's going to win. I think he's due. He was second last week at Daytona. He's been running good and everything. You know, he qualified second. He put a spanking on him yesterday in Xfinity. He had an engine problem at the end of happy hour and has to start at the back, but that's all right. Harvick's good. He's patient. He'll work his way up.
I've got confidence.
He's driving that freaky fast car this week, too, so we're going to see freaky fast all week.
I've been known to wear that. I've got the Budweiser cap. I'd like to wear that Budweiser cap, but I don't know. Today I'm pulling out all the stops. I got a little man crush. I'll admit, a little man crush on Jamie McMurray and.
So beat the man. You gotta beat the man. And
you know.
I'm saying, I'm the man.
Woo! Yeah. So we're gonna see if in fact I am the man. I probably am not. I'm not the man. If you're listening at home, mark it down. I'm not the man. I'm not the man. All right. Well, gentlemen, this has been fun. We took it out at almost 20 minutes over time, but we had some good chat. We will be tuning in to Atlanta. Now, one final update there, Sidekick, if you have it. How are we looking? The weather report is holding good still for a 1 or 115 green flag. Is that correct?
Yes. Two updates here for you.
Go.
Let's see. Race still scheduled start at 1 p.m. per Atlanta Motorsport Speedway Twitter account. Driver intros will be at 12:30. And Brandon had asked me earlier about how they were dropping the horsepower. I have a clarification.
Good. Go ahead.
They're putting a spacer under the throttle body that reduces the horsepower by 120 horse.
Okay.
Wow. So it's like a restrictor plate, but it's a spacer.
Right?
Yeah, it's just a spacer.
Yeah. Well, I know the restrictor plate's a lot more than 120 horse. I mean, I think that restrictor plate takes it down to about half. So this is clearly not such as big of a restriction kind of thing. So, well, that's cool. I like that. We'll see how this works. I'm very interested to watch this race like that. I think that's an interesting rules package. Less downforce. Basically, you're putting it in the driver's hands. So I like this.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting because yesterday in the final practice, we did see that Kevin Harvick's car did finally blow up. So we actually did see an engine seize yesterday. So be curious to see if in fact there is going to be more wear and tear on the engine, or if in fact this package maybe will keep the RPMs down and the speed down, but at the same time the product will be good. I was surprised to see Harvick lose his car, but interestingly he had the best time yesterday even after he blew up. So that bodes well for your pick there, Brandon, of Kevin Harvick. Well, all right, gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining. And folks at home, if you've listened live or if you're going to listen to us in archive, we appreciate your joining us here at the Red House Sports Garage as we chit-chat all things motorsports for the last hour. Thank you, Sidekick. Thank you, Crew Chief Brandon, for joining me again today. Folks, you know what you got to do. You've got to tune in this afternoon. Get yourself down to Atlanta. And we'll hopefully have some fun updates next week following the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500. That's going to go green flag in just about 40 minutes or so. So, gentlemen, thank you once again. Enjoy your day, folks. And please come back and find us here next Sunday morning. We'll be here. Bring the coffee. Bring the donuts. We'll get you all then.